Wrestling Radio. LockerRoomHQ.com. You press your lock up against this body. Now you're stuck, but you're lying down and dirty. You don't care where you're going. Anywhere is better than I'm going. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better. Anywhere is better than. Anywhere is better than here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I'm your host, Dirk, and I am so excited to not be talking about Impact. The Monday Night Wars are over, and we're going back to Raw being a solo show on Monday night, which makes my Tuesday mornings a hell of a lot better. And you'll see this podcast is actually up. You can listen to it by lunchtime, not by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because I only have to cover 2 hours of wrestling, not 4. So, a whole lot better there for me. And with renewed vigor, some renewed pep, of course, we get what turns out to be a pretty bad Monday Night Raw. But, you know, hey, what can you do? Couple news and notes before we get started. Drew McIntyre's firing on SmackDown. When it happened, nobody had any idea. There were people on the writing crew that did not know why this angle was happening. So most speculated that it was a wellness-related issue. Well, as it turns out, it is not. It is apparently some sort of storyline to get Vince McMahon back on TV, which is odd because the whole idea of the WrestleMania angle was to get Vince McMahon off of TV. Regardless, Drew McIntyre still wrestled in Mexico, and he still wrestled, oddly enough, as the Intercontinental Champion. So maybe they just figured nobody had seen SmackDown yet down there. But regardless, he is still in the mix. He is not suspended, so just have to wait and see what their plans actually are. Let's see, what's the other big deal? Twitter. They made mention of Twitter on Raw last night that the board of directors of the WWE Universe was tweeting something, and apparently a lot of guys in WWE management, whatever, have decided that they are going to create Twitter accounts for all their top stars so that you can subscribe to your favorite stars. It's going to be one way of tracking, you know, who's actually got more popularity than somebody else. So, a guy like Matt Hardy is going to have to give up his personal Twitter account and get the corporate one that they set up and they control. But at the same time, they will be posting things without his knowledge. He'll just suddenly go, oh, look what I apparently just tweeted. So, tweeted, right? Who knows? Anyway, so not on the Twitter bandwagon. I can't really tell you exactly how all that. I understand the technology, just not a big fan. Regardless, one of the other things about the Mexican show, the tour that they did down there last week, is that Dos Caras Jr., who is a masked luchador wrestler, signed with WWE last year, was set to make a debut, for whatever reason, was pushed back down to Florida Championship Wrestling. So he was unmasked in Florida Championship Wrestling, and when they did a tour of the UK last year, he wrestled without his mask on. And when photos of that went to Mexico, they blurred out his face, because in Mexico, he still wrestles in the mask. He had never been unmasked in Mexico. So when they sent him back down to do this tour of Mexico, he put the mask back on. So now they're beginning to question whether or not unmasking him was a good idea, which it never is. And they're thinking that they may, in fact, debut him in his mask, even though people at Florida Championship Wrestling had seen him unmasked, and he wrestled the UK without his mask. But whatever. We had Kane hurt his ankle, but he turned out to be okay. Beth Phoenix hurt her ankle, but she ended up being fine. Let's see here. Vicky Guerrero, last night, made an appearance on Raw. She came out to be, we'll cover this when we talk about Raw, but just quickly here, she came out to be the general manager of Raw at the beginning of the night. By the end of the night, she was no longer the general manager of Raw. But she did such a good job and got such tremendous heat that now they're trying to figure out a way to bring her back as the full-time general manager of Raw. Now, I personally, I love Vicky Guerrero. I think she does really good heat, good heel heat, you know, not like X-Pac, you know, get him off my TV heat, but, you know, she's a good villain. And, the reaction she got on Raw was so huge, now they're trying to figure out a way to make it permanent. So, we'll just have to stay tuned and see if that's what happens next week. As far as TNA goes, Jeff Hardy, he is on trial. His trial was supposed to start yesterday, but he got another continuance, this time until the beginning of June, so he will be wrestling on the pay-per-view. Let's see here. Eric Bischoff began the whole fan poll, I don't know what you want to call it, initiative, to try to gauge the fans' interest in certain characters and try to get certain people over. So, of course, they set up the poll, and Desmond Wolfe won the poll, which is not who they wanted to win. So, of course, I went crazy last week trying to understand what the hell was going on Impact. And, you know, as it turns out, Desmond Wolfe won the fan poll voting, so they gave him his match. His match went, you know, like 2 minutes, and he got totally destroyed, and they figured that would be the end of that, and no one would care to see him wrestle again. Well, they realized that people were, you know, voting early, voting often, and so they changed the poll to now set it so you can only vote one time. You try to vote a second time, it doesn't work. People realized, though, that if you went into your browser settings and deleted the cache and wiped out all your cookies, you could go back to the poll and vote a second time. So, again, Desmond Wolfe is in the lead. So, it'll be interesting to see if TNA, they've lost Monday night, morale is way down, ratings are way down, Thursday night showing of Impact is down to a 0.7. Hopefully they can get it up to, back to a 1.1, 1.3, make them feel a whole lot better, but regardless, it'll be interesting to see what happens on Impact to see whether or not they acknowledge the fact that Desmond Wolfe is again in the lead or if they do something to take him out of consideration. I would not be surprised to see him walk out on stage and have a piano fall on his head, which then takes him out of wrestling to teach you people that you're not supposed to vote for him anyway. But, you know, you never know what happens. Oh, and yeah, one other note, they misspelled Bischoff's name on their own poll. That is TNA for you. All right, we're going to go ahead and cut now for commercial. We got all the news wrap-up done here, about 8.5 minutes. So we'll run a couple commercials, and then we'll be back to do your rundown of Monday Night Raw.
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass. I host a show called Comic Nation TV, where the world of comic books and complete fandom collide. We have great reviews by Pop Culture Network's very own Dirt and Comics Corner's reviewer Ryan Porter, along with our newest member Juan Pineda, who hosts The Art of Comics. So if you guys love comics, hope you check out our show, only on The Pop.
Hey, listen to sports.
Check out www.lockerroomhq.com for the rest of our exciting podcasts about sports talk and pro wrestling. And don't forget the rest of www.popculturenetwork.com for everything else from toys to comic books and video games and everything else you love. It's www.popculturenetwork.com.
My name is Sween Hollick, and if you're into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, have I got a column for you. Go over to PopCultureNetwork.com and take a look at Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, where each and every week we meander down memory lane as I review classic figures from the original Playmates Ninja Turtle toy line. Whether you're a longtime follower of the Fab Four or just getting into the Green Teens, I don't think you'll be disappointed. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk, and you can only find it at PopCultureNetwork.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with Wrestling Radio here on Locker Room HQ, part of the Pop Culture Network. And as always, I'm your host, Dirt. And now we're taking a look at Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw opened with Randy Orton coming down to the ring. He wanted to talk to Edge for a moment and explain to Edge why he did not accept his offer to reform Rated RKO. He said he knew him, he knew Edge, saw Orton as a threat, and he knew that he would try to hold him down and keep him under his thumb. And at this point, Meatloaf came out. Meatloaf, the singer, who apparently was semi-popular back around the time I was born. Meatloaf. He is not the guest host for tonight. The guest host was, in fact, Flavor Flav. So this was a run-in by Meatloaf. Apparently, Meatloaf was a huge, well, probably still is, but a huge WWE fan, and he wanted to make an appearance on the show because they were going to be in his area, and of course they had already scheduled Flavor Flav, but he had his people call some people who call Vince's people, and they started making arrangements, and people started tweeting that maybe Meatloaf would be there tonight, and sure enough, here he was out in this segment. Came down to Randy Orton. Said he had a new album coming out, something about a teddy bear. I don't know. It was the dumbest name for an album. I don't remember. But regardless, this is how rushed they were getting him on the show. He's got a CD coming out tomorrow, and he didn't have any copies of the CD with him. So he had what was very clearly a CDR. In fact, could have been a DVDR. I'm not sure, but a CDR in a slimline jewel case. With a photocopied cover, maybe printed out on an inkjet printer, cover of his record, his CD album artwork, cut out and placed inside the sleeve. So he's holding what is very clearly a pirated copy of his CD, or at least a blank CD. And he's trying to use it to push the point that he's got this album coming out tomorrow, and he's got some songs on it. He's a huge Randy Orton fan, and he wants to see if Randy Orton can use any of his songs as entrance music. Two things about Meatloaf. Meatloaf, being a huge fan, was very excited to be there, worked very hard to get himself on the show tonight, was so incredibly hyped up. Two, he was completely loaded. He was sauced. And he was having the time of his life, which, I mean, good for him. I mean, if I ever got the opportunity to be on Raw, I'd probably get myself completely hammered as well, just because I'd be so excited. But, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, maybe not the best decision. Regardless, Meatloaf comes out. At one point, he's trying to get Randy Orton to pay attention to him, to try to get some reaction out of him. He tosses down his CD on the ground, which of course broke the case and the artwork flew out. So then later when he wants Randy Orton to hold it up, the case is all busted. So he just grabs that printout or, you know, color copy, whatever it was, of his album cover and just has him hold onto this little sheet of paper, which of course, you know, is wrinkling over and curling and doesn't want to cooperate. But anyway, he gets them to play one of his songs over the system so that he can sing along with it, and he's forgetting half the words because he's so drunk. He tries to sing another song, and Randy Orton just kind of looks at him. This entire segment when Meatloaf was out there, Randy Orton doesn't say a thing, barely even reacts. He finally gets up and just starts to walk away and leave, and Meatloaf calls him back. He wants to sing him another song. Sings him another song, starts singing, and just Randy Orton just kind of looks around like, this sucks. This is the dumbest thing ever, and finally just hits him with an RKO. And the people cheered, because they were happy Meatloaf got hit with the RKO, but the problem was, they knew Meatloaf was going to get hit by the RKO the moment Meatloaf came out and interrupted him. And they just kept waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it. And then it hit. So it's one of those where if Orton had, you know, cut him off a little earlier and hit him with it, it probably would have been a much better segment. But instead, it went on too long. But, you know, Meatloaf took it pretty well for a big, fat, drunk guy. So Edge comes out onto the stage, and he says he doesn't care for the celebrity guest host either. So he complained to WWE Global, and they tweeted him back, because apparently that's what they do now, is they tweet back to guys who try to give input on the show. And they said that the celebrity hosts of Monday Night Raw would no longer have any sort of authority to make matches. Okay, interesting. So then what's going to be the point? So that doesn't make any sense. But regardless, anyway, so therefore, and on, he said that he wanted them to bring in a full-time general manager to Raw. He knew just such the person, and out comes Vicky Guerrero to a tremendous amount of heat. Of course, Edge and Vicky Guerrero had worked together running the show on SmackDown, but then, you know, they got married, they broke up, got divorced, whatever, so the fact that they were working together again made little sense storyline-wise, which they tried to explain later, but it still didn't make a whole lot of sense. Let's see. She said that you cannot attack celebrities here in the WWE. You will be reprimanded. She started to yell at him. Edge started to yell at him, whatever. So finally, Edge said, you know, you're a bully, and you're going to see what it's like to be bullied. And so Vicky said, tonight you will be facing Edge and a partner of his choice in a two-on-one handicap match. All right, then. Go to commercial. Come back. We have Harry Smith versus Jericho. The idea being that if Jericho wins, then he and Miz get a tag title match at Over the Limit for the Undisputed Tag Championships. They had a pretty good match, but it didn't last very long. It was only a couple minutes long. They had Harry going for the sharpshooter. They had Jericho grab the ropes. So the ref pulled Harry off Jericho, but Jericho poked him in the eyes, hit the code breaker, and got the pin. So Jericho and Miz will be facing the Hart Dynasty for the belts at Over the Limit. Is it Over the Limit? Over the Edge. Who knows? Terrible. Here's one thing to note. Like I said, the match was pretty good, but it was short. One thing that used to bother me about Impact is you had a two-hour show on Impact, and you had maybe 22 minutes of wrestling on the entire show. Well, tonight, on Raw, two-hour episode of Raw, we got about 15 minutes of wrestling. Yeah. Imagine that. So, WWE, I can see why a lot of fans are turning their backs on WWE and its current product, and why the ratings are down, you know, two whole points from where they were a couple years ago. You know, because the show is more about the entertainment and less about the sports, which, you know, you can do that every so often, but doing that consistently is going to take people who actually like wrestling and put them in a spot where they're not watching the show anymore, which is what this is. So we go to commercial, come back, we have Flava Flav and R-Truth come out. They rapped, they danced, I mean, I don't know, it was kind of goofy and whatever, but it's Flava Flav, what else are you going to do with them? So, Flava Flav talking about his new show, which is basically the Twilight Zone with less production values than it had in the 50s. He kept talking, so anyway, William Regal came out. They had R-Truth versus William Regal, which, here's what I gotta say. I love William Regal. I think William Regal is a tremendous performer. I think he's a great wrestler. I think he brings something special to the show every time he's on. He is not a main event guy. I don't think he really could be a main event guy. But regardless, WWE will never book him as a main event guy. And R-Truth being in a match with William Regal kind of scared me, because R-Truth could be a main event guy. He does need to work on his delivery a little bit when he's doing promos. He needs to learn to enunciate a little bit better, especially if he wants to be one of the top-tier guys. But he has the ability to be there. But, you know, of course, matches with William Regal are not going to get you there. Doesn't matter, because as soon as the match started, the clones came down to the ring. They attacked R-Truth. The match was a DQ. If you had watched Superstars, you saw the two of them had a match, and then Carlito basically said, you know, we need to work together. We need to get whatever. We need to, you know, get our spot back or, you know, something, whatever. So they reunited on Superstars, but did not appear on SmackDown together. It was an angle for Raw. So, okay. And I don't even know. Are those guys, are they Raw superstars? I couldn't tell you. Regardless. Let's see. So, as the Colognes started walking back up the ramp and leaving after attacking R-Truth, Ted DiBiase came out with his $1 million belt. He pulled out two envelopes and handed them to the Colognes. So that was their payoff. They got cash. And, there you go. That was that. They went backstage and they showed Maryse, and she was in the ring with some karate guy, and he was trying to show her some moves, and she wasn't getting them, and the guy said, this isn't working, you're not learning, and so she beat the guy up, and there you go. They cut to Orton and Josh Matthews. Josh said he didn't care about who was in the three-way because he's not wrestling in it. But Orton said he didn't care because, you know, he... just wanted Vicky to be there at ringside so that he could basically get his hands on Vicky and give her a night she will never forget. Let's see. They had another skit. This time it was a commercial for next week's Raw, which is a commercial-free Raw. Luckily, it's only 2 hours and not three, but for whatever reason, no commercials is their gimmick. And Buzz Aldrin is going to be there to talk about his new, I don't know, charity or organization, whatever. Excuse me. And so they had him in his astronaut suit, and he was explaining how he's going to be on Raw next week, and suddenly Mark Henry appears with a chair on the moon and hits him with the chair, and so that's supposed to entice you to watch. You're going to see Mark Henry wrestle on the moon next week and beat up on 80-year-old men. Which, to be honest, compared to a lot of the stuff that happened on Raw tonight, if they are going to do a skit where they supposedly put Mark Henry on a rocket and shoot him to the moon and have him wrestle an 80-year-old guy in weightless space, yeah, I probably would mark out for that. That would be kind of cool. They showed Alicia and Gail Kim at ringside again for absolutely no reason. They had the woo-woo guy in the ring. He said they're going to be tearing down this arena soon, which is true, the igloo. So they said in honor of that, he was going to get his first win tonight on Raw. So out comes Evan Bourne. Again, they have a match that, you know, only goes a couple minutes. Alicia tried to interfere, but Gail Kim... basically yanked her off. The two of them got into a spite. Wow. I don't even know what I'm saying here. I typed up my notes last night, but apparently did it while I was meatloaf drunk. So they got into a spat, and Evan Bourne hit his shooting star and got the pin on the woo-woo guy. So he locked arms with Gail Kim, and she realized she had nothing better to do, so she left with Evan Bourne. So that's, I don't know what that tells you. And then that was that. Go to commercial, come back. We get John Cena coming down to the ring. He basically said that Sheamus gave him a week to think about what he was going to do at the pay-per-view with Big Dave, because, of course, he was going to announce last week what the stipulation was, and Sheamus attacked him. So now he decided that his victory at the last pay-per-view in the last man standing match was an intellectual victory, but not a hard-fought victory. So, therefore, he was thinking about all the different things he could do at the pay-per-view. He could blindfold Batista. He could handcuff Batista. He could have him jump on one leg. But instead, he wanted a competitive match and a brutal match. And he said he wanted it to be an I Quit match. Now, remind me, how did John Cena beat Batista at WrestleMania for the title? He beat him by putting him in a submission move and making him tap out. And when you tap out, you say, I quit. So therefore, John Cena, the babyface, who wants a fair and competitive match, is setting up Batista to be in a match that John Cena has technically already beat him in. That is some tremendous booking. So anyway, Cena then called out Sheamus, and so Sheamus came out. And Cena basically took off his shirt while Sheamus made insults and said, let's do it, let's fight right now. And of course, this whole thing was a distraction, so Batista could run through the crowd, jump into the ring, and attack Cena. There's a double team from Sheamus and Batista. Let's see, Batista took Cena to the outside, threw him into the post, tossed him back in the ring so that Sheamus could hit him with the big boot. Batista jumped in the ring. He was getting ready to hit the Batista bomb, but Mark Henry, of all people, came down to make the save because there were no 80-year-old men in the arena at that time to attack, so he thought he would save Cena. So Mark Henry basically cleared all the bad guys out, and they go backstage. They had Edge talking to Vicky. He said he had found his partner, but he wanted to talk to Vicky a little bit. He basically said all the horrible things that he had said about Vicky when he left after they got their divorce was that he wanted to get her some sympathy. He wanted to say these mean things so that people would boo him and cheer her. But he said, we are both destined to be hated, so therefore that's something we have in common. We can still be friends. So that's how they explain all that away, which, of course, makes no sense in the long term, but regardless, what are you going to do? So he said, I want you to come down to ringside for my match with Orton, and she said, you are crazy. And she said, basically, I'm not going down there unless you can guarantee me nothing will happen. And Edge said, well, of course. And he said, besides, you're the general manager, so if he tries to attack you, you can just straight up fire him. And she goes, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. So keep that in mind. If Orton tries to do anything to Vicky Guerrero, she will fire him. She can do that because she is the new general manager. So she'll just fire the guy. Okay, then. They had The Miz versus Tyson Kidd. And apparently they had made a second stipulation for The Miz's other belt. Which, okay, sure, I guess. So if Miz loses, he has to defend his Intercontinental title next week on Raw against a member of the Hart Dynasty. So they have a quick little match that, again, only goes a couple minutes long. Tyson Kidd ends up beating The Miz. And so Miz then attempts to say that it'll be a member of the Hart family, but instead he says family, and then realizes he shouldn't have said family, and says dynasty, but then realizes he should have said family and not dynasty, so he says family again. I'm going to defend against a certain member, and it's not going to be you, Tyson Kidd. So Harry is kind of happy that Harry gets to have a match, and he says, nope, it's not going to be against you, Harry. So, of course, they realize it's got to be Natalya, and so she starts selling like, oh, she would like to be the Intercontinental Champion. Or, I'm sorry, the United States champion. And he says, nope, it's not going to be you. I said it's going to be a member of the Hart family. So, therefore, next week on Raw, I will defend my title against Bret the Hitman Hart. So, let's think about this for a minute. Either they are going to do some sort of angle where Bret Hart gets injured and he can no longer be on Raw anymore. And so, that's how they are going to get rid of him. Or he's going to have to win the title. And so then what do you do with them? I mean, really, how many outcomes can you have of this match of The Miz versus Bret the Hitman Hart? Either Bret Hart loses and is injured, and that's his excuse to be off TV from now on, or he wins the belt, and what do you do with Bret Hart as the United States champion in 2010? So I'm really kind of perplexed about all that. Let's see. They had Josh Matthews backstage with Batista. He said he was going to have a match with Mark Henry later tonight. And, Batista said he really didn't care about that. He was going to be facing Cena 2 weeks in an I Quit match. He was going to make John Cena scream, "I quit." He's not just going to make him say it, he's going to make him scream it. And to prove this point, he said, "Watch what I do to Mark Henry later tonight." They had a just awful match now. They had Santino, Goldust, Yoshitatsu, and John Morrison come out against the NXT rookies. This was very bad. Just about everything that happened in this match was wrong, or sloppy, or somehow a problem. At one point, it was actually funny because one of the NXT rookies, I forget which one it was, jumps in the ring, and I hear the crowd go, "Woo!" And I was like, why is the crowd cheering for this guy, this NXT rookie? And then I realized John Morrison got in the ring. So, okay, that made a little more sense, but basically, Santino tagged in, Daniel Bryan tagged in, Daniel Bryan hits Santino with the small package out of nowhere, gets the pin, and so they all celebrate, they pick up Daniel Bryan, put him on his shoulders, they're all cheering for him, they make a big deal about the fact that this was his first win in the WWE. He's been on a losing streak in NXT, so this is his big win. And of course, the original plan was for Daniel Bryan and The Miz to not get along for a long time. They were going to have Daniel Bryan lose, until finally it comes down to he's one of the final people left on NXT, and he is going to win the competition despite not winning a match, which will infuriate Miz. The two of them have a match for the Intercontinental title, or for the U.S. title. Daniel Bryan wins and comes into WWE as the United States champion, which, you know, interesting story, gives Daniel Bryan a push as he comes into the regular roster. That's apparently all out the window because they have this other storyline they're going to do with Bret Hart and the title. And Daniel Bryan got his first win with Santino in a small package on Raw. There you go. Backstage, they showed Flavor Flav and the Bellas, who apparently the Bellas are the loosest divas on Raw, because anytime there's a celebrity guest host, they are throwing themselves at him. So that tells you, I guess that's got to tell you something, but Vladimir Kozlov, Santino were backstage. Vladimir started to say something, but Flavor Flav told him, "You got to speak English." And Santino basically said he wanted to team with Vlad, but Vlad wouldn't because Santino always loses. And Santino wants to win, and that's why he wants to be with Kozlov. So, of course, William Regal walks in, tells Kozlov to not listen to Santino or Flavor Flav. So Flavor Flav got mad. William Regal said, "Anybody can rap." Flavor Flav said, "Let's hear you rap then." So William Regal recites a poem and somehow did this aw snap thing at the end, whatever, and Flavor Flav got pissed and grabbed everybody and made them all leave, and William Regal was standing there by himself, and the segment ended. And this was, there was no Hornswoggle in this segment because, of course, he's been traded, but this would have been the Hornswoggle segment. This was that segment they always do with the celebrity guest host that is just terrible. And nobody wants to watch, but they do it anyway. They had Batista come down to the ring. He grabbed a folding chair, set it in the middle of the ring, sat down on it, and looked bored out of his mind waiting for Mark Henry. They had Mark Henry eventually come down to the ring. I think they did a commercial break there, but they had Mark Henry come down to the ring. Gets down to ringside, climbs up on the apron. As he's going through the ropes to get in, Batista immediately jumps up, starts kicking him, hitting him, puts him in some sort of submission hold. Mark Henry would not say, "I quit," would not tap, would not do anything, fought against it, and eventually passed out. And Batista got up and celebrated and left. And again, this was to show what Batista's plan for the I Quit match is at the pay-per-view. Problem is, when you refuse to say I quit and you refuse to tap, and instead you pass out, you are not saying I quit. You are braving your way through the pain until the pain overtakes your body and you pass out. So therefore, Batista just lost the I Quit match. But that's not how it's supposed to be portrayed. It was just poorly, poorly thought out. They had Orton come out. They had Edge and Vicky come out. They announced their partner. It, of course, was Ted DiBiase. So Ted DiBiase versus Orton will continue. They had Vicky come sit at ringside. They had Orton and Edge wrestle for a long time. Orton went to hit the RKO. Ted shoved him off. Orton backdropped him to the outside. R-Truth ended up running down to the ramp. And Ted DiBiase was watching R-Truth instead of Orton. So he turns around. Orton hits the RKO and gets the pin. So I guess, here's what I'm guessing. Edge and DiBiase next week will team in a tag team match versus R-Truth and Randy Orton. In the hopes that, again, this reminds people Ted DiBiase is a top-tier guy and hopefully grabs R-Truth and brings him along for the ride. This is basically the Kofi Kingston spot that Kofi was supposed to get several months ago, but instead he messed up the finish to a match with Randy Orton. Randy Orton buried him backstage, and that was the end of the push for Kofi Kingston. So, looks like R-Truth is going to get that Kofi Kingston push, which is good for him, but we'll see how well, you know, WWE follows through and how quickly they just kind of forget and move on. But regardless, with Edge knocked out, and DiBiase taken down, Orton looks at Vicky at ringside, drops into his Viper pose in the ring. Vicky starts to freak out. She grabs a microphone, and Orton slowly, when I say he slowly moved towards him, he was moving about as fast as George Burns in a 5K run, as George Burns' health allows now. And George Burns is dead, so that's pretty slow. So that's about as slow as Orton was moving here. He was stalking Vicky, and she grabbed the microphone, and she said, "Don't do it." She said, "I'm warning you." She started crying because he was still coming. She said, you know, earlier in the night, they teased that if he tries anything, she'll just fire him. So she's saying, "Don't do it, don't do it, back off, back off." And finally she goes, "Fine, I resign. I quit. I won't be the general manager. I am leaving." So then Edge hops up, Randy Orton hits him with an RKO, Vicky runs away, that's the end of the show. Thanks for watching Raw. So explain to me why, if all she had to do was fire Randy Orton, that was the only thing in her arsenal, why did she resign? I don't get it. This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, why? I mean, I guess you could say the whole thing was that Randy Orton knew that she could fire Randy Orton. So therefore, when Randy Orton was still stalking her, the only way that she could save herself was to resign from the position, because then she was no longer in the place of authority and power. So then he wouldn't want to attack her. So maybe that was supposed to mean something, I guess. I don't know. But even if you take it from that angle, it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So anyway, that's your episode of Monday Night Raw. We're going to answer a few questions here before we get going on the rest of it. Let's see here. Sweeneholic on the board, he said, about Drew McIntyre on SmackDown, aren't Drew and Tiffany getting married, and this is how he's being written off TV for the honeymoon? Actually, Drew and Tiffany already got married. They got married 2 months ago, I think it was. So Drew McIntyre, Tiffany already married, already did their honeymoon stuff. So this is not that. This is something else going on, and I don't know why. What does Matt Stryker know about Shrimp Thingy Tail? Did you hear his comments about Kofi and West Ghana royalty? Here's basically the deal. Matt Stryker has gotten a lot of heat from a lot of people in WWE because he took on a gimmick where basically he lies about stuff, tries to put it over as if it's the truth, kind of that old school heel mentality. But Matt Stryker, being of the newer generation of fan, newer generation of WWE viewer, when he would say stuff about, like, make up a name for a move and try to sell that as being what it was, and people instead were saying this guy's stupid, just flat out stupid, not that he's a heel who's lying. So they basically took a page out of Bobby Heenan's history, and there was a lot of controversy about Bobby Heenan and Saba Simba, which was that Tony Atlas maybe? I don't remember who it was, but he was basically a guy from Africa. Saba Simba was his African name, and so, of course, Bobby Heenan is talking about, oh, you know what Saba Simba means in Africa? It means room service. Just basically saying that, a guy who's royalty in Africa is a guy who's going to be cleaning my toilets here and, you know, whatever. And so, basically, Matt Stryker went to that era of Bobby Heenan to draw from and tried to be that type of heel announcer, which got him some different heat. But so far, from what I've heard, Vince enjoyed it. So there you go. That's about as far as, I think they thought that one through. I got an email here from Joseph R. Joseph R. writes, I was just kind of wondering about TNA and what you think about how they compare to WCW. And I wonder, is there anything TNA can do at this point to make people care about TNA again? Or do you think it's one of those situations where everybody has hated what they have been doing for so long that now they just won't watch anymore? I think there are some things TNA could do. Obviously, if you look at TNA, one of the main things that they've done is they've overloaded their roster, mostly with guys who had heydays 10 years ago in an effort to try to build some excitement around them, and it really hasn't worked. And the guys who had a lot of built-up excitement over the years have been guys like Samoa Joe and AJ Styles. New guys coming in like Desmond Wolfe, those guys need to be the face of the company. They need to take the guys like Sting. I mean, I love Sting, great guy, wonderful human being, but they need to take guys like Sting, Jeff Jarrett, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, all of those guys, Kevin Nash, Sean Waltman, all of those guys need to be immediately taken out of the ring, never allowed to compete again. They're done. If they're going to stay on TV, they need to be in some sort of manager role, general manager role, president of the company role, leader of a faction, something where if they're going to keep them on the payroll and have them on TV, then they can work in a capacity where they're talking for people who aren't the best talkers or talking for groups and no longer having them compete. And the guys who are competing need to be the guys on Impact who have the ability to do good matches. I know, crazy, right? But there are a lot of guys with so many talent. Motor City Machine Guns are completely talented. Matt Morgan has actually proven himself. I think Douglas Williams has done a good job proving himself. Rob Terry has the ability, I think, but he needs some work. A lot of those guys, and then your main event guys, your super top guys, you can keep Kurt Angle in there because he does okay. Your Samoa Joes, your AJ Styles, they need to be your main event guys, your top tier. They're your equivalent of the Cenas and the Randy Ortons and, you know, Undertaker and whoever. That's who they've got, and they need to really build those guys. And those guys need to be unbeatable by anyone under than them in the company, and have incredible, if they do TV matches, if they do Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles on TV, it needs to be a minimum 20 minute match, and it needs to be very competitive. And they can have a guy win by a screw job. you know, that'd be fine. But they really need to build wins and losses, make it feel like wins and losses matter, which is going to require competent booking, long-term booking on their part, and really get rid of all of those other guys and stick to because the TNA faithful, one reason why the TNA faithful are faithful to TNA is because they can say, hey, we've got guys like the Motor City Machine Guns who are really good, high-impact, fast wrestlers. But the problem is, they go on TV, they only wrestle in 4-minute matches. Those guys can do 20-minute matches. Great tag team matches. They need to let them do that, and they're not doing that. So, I think if they could make some of those changes, get rid of those guys who are way past their prime, that nobody cares about anymore, and go back to the stars of the TNA faithful, then I think they could. Now, of course, being on Monday night was a really dumb idea. We've talked about that quite a bit the last few weeks. But, you know, this situation here, they can recover from, they can rebuild it from, but I don't think they will, because I just don't think they have the competent booking and the planning, the long-term planning that doing something like that would require. Hopefully they can prove me wrong, but I just don't see it happening. All right, that's going to do it for today. Don't forget, if you have an email you'd like to send me, you can send it to dirt@popculturenetwork.com. You can also leave me a voicemail on our voicemail line, 24 hours a day, automated voicemail line. Just leave us a message. It's area code 217-953-4025. And as always, you can stop by LockerRoomHQ.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. Come to our forum. We've got a pro wrestling forum. There's a sports forum there. So whichever one you're into, you can leave us a post there. And don't forget to check out the other exciting podcasts we have. Check out the rest of PopCultureNetwork.com, which also includes such websites like ThatNewToySmell.com and IneedComics.com. I think those are the only other sites. Oh, and VGLosers.com, which is the site that I originally founded, which started all this stuff, which, of course, it's, you know, the only thing really going up at VGLosers right now is Operation Retro Shock with Chris Vince and Alan Price. And if you guys are into video games and gaming news and retro gaming, these guys cover all of that. But, of course, they talk really funny. I don't know what it is, but it's like they're sipping their tea and eating their crumpets. Now, they say they're not British, but, you know, backwoods hick like me from middle America just sounds like a couple of those high-collar Brits. I don't know who those guys are and what their deal is, but their accents are crazy. Crazy! Hard to listen to sometimes because they're all, cup of tea, governor, whatever they talk about. I don't even know what they talk about half the time, but that's the only thing really going on at VGLosers.com right now, but it's actually a pretty good podcast. It's about 12 days long every time they record one, and they talk about everything video gaming, so you guys want to definitely check that out. That's going to wrap it up for me. We've gone almost 50 minutes here, so I'm sick of talking. You're sick of hearing my voice, so we're going to wrap it up. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next time. You don't